And we found out that that application actually, that because it's a fracture reduction application, it didn't take a lot of time. Even the radiologists, they report within a minute, each and every case. And the AI results also, they comes within a minute. But the actual impact was in the, for the patients. So those patients, they didn't need to wait for the radiology report. And whoever had the fractures, the clinicians, they got the AI results and they treated the patients as early as possible instead of waiting for the radiologist to report those cases. Although the volume of the cases are much, the results are getting faster because of AI. And we found out that the clinicians and the patients, they got the actual benefit through this application rather than the radiologists who are doing the reporting, even they are doing faster.
Well, hello and welcome to the podcast of the American College of Artificial Intelligence and Medicine. I'm Mel Spiceman, president of the American College. Today, I'm so excited to have a guest that is from Norway. We're dear friends. I just call him Prob, but his full name is Ram Prabhanath, and he's a radiologist who met with me at the RSNA Radiology Conference in Chicago, McCormick Place, just 1 month ago for the 111th year of the Radiology Conference. And he is an expert in artificial intelligence as it applies to radiology. So our topic today for the podcast is artificial intelligence and radiology with Dr. Prob. So Prob, tell us, to the audience, tell them something about you and how you got involved in artificial intelligence.
Hello. Hi, Dr. Melvin. Thank you so much, first of all, to inviting me to have a podcast about this. I'm very much honored to be here to have to give a talk and my understanding and my expertise in this AI field, which is growing. Actually, I'm a radiologist. I'm working in Norway and the Bærum Hospital with 15 years of experience, and actually came to Norway in 2016. And I worked as a normal radiologist. And 2 years back, that team of great people, they joined together, had an idea of implementing AI in the clinical workflow. So being a body imaging radiologist, and also I had a much interest in the computers as well as in AI, I just thought this would be a very great opportunity to join the team, to work with them, and to do some wonders implementing the AI in the clinical workflow. So I joined them in 2013, I mean, sorry, 2023, I think. And since then, I'm working with them partly, around 40% of my time, I'm dedicated in AI, in radiology, and 60%, I'm working as a normal clinical radiologist reporting the cases.
Great. So, now, what is your title as regards to the AI piece for your organization that you work for?
Yeah, it's a clinical AI lead.
Clinical AI lead. Great. Now, you and I at the conference got to go in an exhibit hall where there were over 1,000 FDA-approved algorithms for AI, about 750 plus in radiology. I know that you are trying to implement AI into radiology. Let's just talk about the areas in which you're actually implementing it this year and what those algorithms do in terms of reading specific things on an X-ray.
Yeah. As you said, according to the American College of Radiology in 2024, there are around 950 FDA-approved AI applications, where 750 of them are in radiology. In that, you can divide those things into two. One is as SAMD. It's a software as a medical device that we are talking as an AI application. And SIMD is the software in a medical device. So if we divide that 750, it comes around the software as a medical device, which we are using it now. It's 342 AI solutions which are FDA approved, and software in the medical device, for example, in the MR machine, in the CT machines, and others, it's 332. In Europe, the software as a medical device, it's around 240 approximately, which is CE approved, MDR approved applications. So when you asked about the areas where the AI application can be implemented in radiology, in our radiology department, is just to understand how is the workflow in the radiology department. Because the AI is plays a major role in each and every workflow in the radiology department. So for example, just to reiterate the workflow, the clinician sends a request to the radiology department asking for an examination. Once the request is received, the radiologist analyzes the request, prioritize the patient, is it acute or can take it later, and also assigns a protocol for that examination, the suitable protocol he assigns to that request. Then the patient is then scheduled to that particular time and the date by the office people. Then on the day of the examination, the patient meets up in the department and prepares for the examination. In the department or in the radiology department, in the for example, if it's a CT of an X-ray, according to the protocol and the patient habitus, the machine is calibrated. The patient is laid on the machine. Images are taken, and once the images are taken, it is sent to the radiologist for reading, and the radiologist analyzes the images and generates a report. Then the clinician gets the report, and if there is any significant finding, the examination and a follow-up examination is recommended by the radiologist. So this is the usual workflow in our hospital in the radiology department. Here, where the AI plays the major role. So each and every step, I'll just tell one by one, is the automation of protocol selection as per the clinical request. So there are AI applications which can automize, select the protocol as per the hospital, as per the department, and according to the clinical request. And if the patient didn't come, for example, it's been scheduled, if the patient not showed, there is a AI application which can reschedule the patients and send the required documents. Once the patient has arrived, there are applications for auto calibration in the machine according to the patient habitus, according to the patient protocol, I mean examination protocol, that helps in the radiation dose optimization and scan time reduction. Once the images are taken, we have AI applications that are used for image quality enhancement and noise artificial reduction. Once the images are taken, the images are sent to the radiologist, and these images, these examinations can be triaged and prioritized according to the acuteness of the examination for reporting, so that the images which needs, for example, if it's a pulmonary embolism, that has to be reported as early as possible to the clinicians. So by that, there are AI applications which helps in the triaging of that. And it helps the radiologists to prioritize the reporting and make their workflow efficient. Also, there are many AI applications as a diagnostic assistance in the cancer detection, in the tumor classification, and the segmentation, in the aperture segmentation, and also any hidden fractures, for example, what we have implemented, which I'll be explaining a little bit later. And also nowadays, there are many AI applications which is getting better and better in report generation. Once the report has been generated, there are applications which comes up with the treatment process or to advise for the further investigations has to be done or follow-up examination has to be done. So it comes up with some recommendations. So there are a lot of AI applications which can be used in each and every step in our radiology workflow. So that's a huge thing which is happening. But the only thing what is not that yet is the implementation. Although there are a lot of applications which are available, there are no proper group or a system to implement it in a better way.
I really like where your last point about the implementation. So, my experience is that these are available. You and I actually spoke directly to many of the companies that have them available for use when we were at the RSNA meeting. What do you think is the reason that it has been hard to implement it in the radiology departments, say in the USA? Just given that you did a lot of networking, I know you met with some of the top people in the world on this personally, face to face over coffee. What's, without mentioning names or anything, what's your thought as to why there's difficulty in implementing the AI applications at any given hospital in the USA? What are your thoughts on that?
So I think the major the block which people are facing is the law, because there is no the ethics and the law how to implement it. It's not that been
So really what you're getting at is that because we don't have a well-defined method of government of governance, not government, but governance around AI, because there's not the guardrails, the safeguards, the mechanism in place, doctors are cautious about how and when they're going to implement it. I think that's a fair assessment. Now, you have tried to implement it in your hospital, and how should, what if you were advising someone like yourself to who's actually implementing it in their hospital, what would you advise them as a how to start? And what should the team look like to start such an implementation?
So if you want to implement an AI application, I would first suggest to find the pain points. So if you focus on the radiology department, we have to pick out where we have the problem actually in the department, whether it's in the diagnosis level or is there a lot of cases which is pending, which is not yet reported, or there is a delay in the reporting of the cases. So we need to find the pain points where we need exactly the problem is. Then we need to find the application, what kind of application we need and which application suits to solve this pain problems. So in our hospital, I can give a scenario to understand in a better way. In our hospital, we have a lot of cases. The large amount of cases is actually the fractured patients. It's the trauma. Trauma cases are much in our hospital. So we came up with an idea. Actually, it happened before I went to and joined the team. A decision was made to help the radiologist to report the fracture cases as early as possible and to get rid of them so that the patients are treated fast enough. And also, this AI system will help them to give the report in a short period compared to without AI. So that was the intention, to reduce the work burden for the radiologist and help them to report it faster and use the time for reporting the complex cases. That was the main aim, to take this application. Took it, we validated internally, and I mean external validation or in-house validation. We did the application. We implemented it in a hospital, and we found out that that application actually, that because it's a fracture reduction application, it didn't take a lot of time. Even the radiologists, they report within a minute each and every case, and the AI results also, they comes within a minute. But the actual impact was in the, for the patients. So those patients, they didn't need to wait for the radiology report, and whoever had the fractures, the clinicians, they got the AI results and they treated the patients as early as possible instead of waiting for the radiologist to report those cases. Although the volume of the cases are much, the results are getting faster because of AI, and we found out that the clinicians and the patients, they got the actual benefit through this application rather than the radiologists who are doing the reporting, even they are doing faster.
Put it this way, what would be a pain point that you solved in your own hospital?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, the pain point what we had is there are a lot of trauma cases, a lot of patients every day, and it has to be reported as early as possible. And trauma patients need to wait for a long time to get the treatment because there are normal cases as well as the who had fractures. So as the as there was no prioritization before implementation, the radiologists are reporting from top to bottom according to the time. But the people who had fractures, they need to wait for a couple of hours before they see the doctors. And patient who didn't have fractures, they also need to wait for a long time to hear from the clinicians, from the doctors, that they don't have fractures. So that was the pain point. The waiting time actually was the pain point, and the stress on the radiologist for the reports. These two are the pain points.
So what I'm hearing is if I was a patient in your emergency room and I had an injury, instead of waiting for hours for the report, the doctor would know right away that there's no broken bone and he could send me home and I wouldn't have to be stuck in an emergency room for the whole day waiting for the x-ray to be interpreted. That's what I'm taking away
Yes.
from that. Right. So that's where
Right.
the value lies, is helping people get home from an emergency room without being there all day. Because here in the States, if you go to any emergency room, you're likely to be in there for 12 or more hours waiting for the results.
Yes.
And so this, if we implemented it here in the States, it would be great because patients wouldn't have to stay 12, 14 hours in an emergency room waiting for the doctor to get the results on those things. That would be fabulous. Are you using artificial intelligence at your hospital yet for lung nodule interpretation or screening? Are you using it to read a chest X-ray? Are you using it to read a CAT scan? Are you using it to read an MRI? Or are all these things in the future?
Yes, you're right. We are in the flow, and the next application which we'll be implementing will be the chest lung nodules, the chest X-rays, as well as in the CT. So we are planning to have a chest X-ray application, which will help to divide the positive and the negative cases. And the positive cases, we have we'll be having an application to come up with the diagnosis. What kind is that? If it is an acute, then the reports will be generated immediately by the radiologist. And the third application which we are planning to implement is the MS application, an MRI MS application, which is in the validation phase now. Soon it will be ending, and we'll be implementing it in our clinical workflow. And the lung applications, chest X-ray, and the lung nodule, it's in the pre-validation phase.
So even though I'm not a radiologist like you, I hit the proper things, which were lung nodules, chest X-rays, and MRIs. So I guess I did my homework. I learned something at RSNA.
Yeah, these are the usual applications which we are which they are implementing in the clinical workflow when they start with the AI.
That is
And
amazing.
yeah.
I did read a paper today that just came out of sometime in the last week or two about this idea that AI is now being implemented to just determine normal chest x-rays to take the burden off of radiologists. So there was a paper just this week that came out, one that's re widely received, well received on this. So this is cert you are at the cutting edge. What you are doing and implementing is like truly at the cutting edge of medicine. Aside, let's just talk about your vision for what else might happen in your own radiology department in 2025. We talked about the algorithms for fractures, for lung nodules, for normal chest x-ray reports, and for MRI of the brain. Are there other applications that you already know that you will be implementing at your hospital in 2025 that's for sure in the future of this year?
Yeah, this application, which I told now, it will be implemented in the 2025, and as well as I think it's mammography is a it's one of the application we are looking into. So we're planning to implement that as well, but still it's another group of my colleague who is taking care of it, so I'm not having a clear-cut deadline when we'll be doing it, but it's in our timeline that we need to
So
take it and implement that.
for our listeners, if you had to give a pearl of wisdom, advice to our listeners, what would be the best advice for those listening who actually would like to implement it successfully today at their own hospital? What would be your word of advice to, say, a chief AI officer at a hospital here in America?
Yeah, I would say the famous wordings that the best way to predict the future is to just create it. Just go for it, find the way how to implement it, do the right things, check the each and every stakeholders, make them a group, and make it done. So it's everything. It's the first is to just go for it.
Well,
Not just
I like
thinking
how
it.
you summed it up. The way I would sum it up in, based on your words, the best way I would think about it is the Nike gym shoe slogan, which is just do it. In other words,
Just do it.
it's not the
Yeah.
future, it's now, and just do it.
Yes,
Now,
you have
let's
to jump it, not just thinking
jump in and
how
do
you
it. Now, I have to say to our audience, I really, really admire Dr. Prabh. Of all the people I've met in AI, he's the one who's actually implementing it for real today. He's not just talking about it or researching it. He is doing it to make patient care better in his own hospital. And with the first project being reducing the time that someone has to be in an emergency room waiting on a report for a fracture. So we're going to pivot our discussion away from radiology into a different area, which is more about professional development or society. So you and I are on a similar pathway of me for the US and you for Norway and also for the rest of Europe and the world. We're trying to create a community of physicians and other computer scientists and leaders to collaborate in a professional way. Now, I've done that by in the US by forming the American College of Artificial Intelligence and Medicine, which is a professional society. But even more than that, the way people connect nowadays is through an online community, and that's what you're about to do. And I want you to speak to your online community for anyone interested in AI and medicine. So tell us about your community, what it is called, how can someone engage with or become a member of that community?
First, I want to say that what is happening in our country and what I'm doing is it's a teamwork. It's not a single person, and I don't want to take all the credits. It's a teamwork. Without a team, it can't be done. And it's this team is not only doctors, it's a group of people. And it involves a lot of stakeholders. So the idea of making this community came from that when we wanted to choose an application. We are just pondering which application is good, which suits us. Where should I go and see the application, check the application? Whom should I ask? Who can help me in the implementation process? How can I check the what are the benefits realization if I implement this application? So there are a lot of questions that we couldn't find it in the net, or we couldn't Google it because it's still emerging. And I searched for a lot of communities or anything in the Facebook and as well as in the LinkedIn. People are talking, they're saying, and they're saying that all these AI applications, it's available for what is it, as a study, or it's for screening purpose. So that there is no a particular group I found in either in Facebook or in LinkedIn who is implementing in the workflow, who can join, combine, have a talk to discuss. It wasn't there. So that is the reason we came up with a community that was missing. It was not launched long back. It's a couple of days back. This was launched, and this application is it's a portal application where it's open for all the stakeholders who are involved in the AI implementation process, actually. It's not only in radiology, in all clinical specialties, as well as we wanted to include the researchers, research people who are doing work in the implementation process, the ethics and governance people, and also the innovations and entrepreneurship people, the patient-centered group of people for AI education, and professional networking groups, and each clinical AI application, including radiology, ophthalmology, neurology. So this community consists of multiple main groups and subgroups, which will help in the discussion of implementation in the ethics and governance, in the innovation of new applications in particular aspect, and also about the patient patient-centered AI, and also a group where we can discuss about the education of AI in healthcare. So it's a big project that where we have which we have started, and at present this community is just an invitation basis. So we'll be inviting the people, and the people who have joined the community can invite other people. So we are not opening to the whole public at present. We are going in the invitation basis. And our goal for this community is to say that it's main for the collaboration among the clinicians, the researchers, the policymakers, as ethical advocacy, and also help in the implementation process in the clinical workflow, and help each other and educate each other to come in flow with the implementation, the clinical workflow, and help the patients for a better for the betterment of their for helping the patients actually. So this is the main concept why we are building this community. And we want the big organizations like the American College of Artificial Intelligence and Medicine to join and help us grow together.
Great. Well, we are a supporting organization for Prabh's online community. And he said that if someone is a member, which I am, and you'd like to join, that we can invite you into the community. So for those who are listening, you can email me at mspeismanmd@americancollegeaim.org. And I can connect you with Prabh and his artificial intelligence community for medicine. Any closing thoughts in general, philosophical thoughts about AI and medicine? Any just general thoughts that you want to share with the listeners about AI and medicine?
AI in the healthcare or AI in medicine is a very vast subject. to say. So as I said before, the only thing is just go for it. Take the lead, go for it, implement, and make the better place for the patients.
Well, Prabh, I really admire everything that you have done. You were so kind and gracious at RSNA to introduce me to some of the leading physicians on the planet and AI in medicine. So thanks for connecting me with such wonderful people. You have been so gracious to include me in your AI community and to be someone that I look to for guidance on actually implementing it to in real time to be one of the first. You are truly one of the first in the world to implement it before most anyone else that I know. So I really admire what you're doing and am delighted that you have taken on such a leadership role, not just in the country of Norway, but for everyone across the globe. So, really, an inspiration. Thanks for reaching out, connecting, being a leader, and an inspiration to those of us in the AI and medicine space. And it was such a pleasure having you on the podcast. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you live again at RSNA in 2025 here in Chicago, McCormick Place, where we'll continue these wonderful conversations.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Melvin. It's a great honor for me to have a chat with you through this podcast. It's a nice thing. And of course, we are helpful and we are open to help people to help them implement through this community portal. We'll be happy to answer. And I'm also very happy to join the great organization that you are building. Definitely, it'll be a great place, and I'm looking forward to grow together in this field.
Great. Well, to our listeners, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again on the next Melvin Monday. Have a great day, everyone.
If you enjoyed what you heard here today, consider becoming a member of our professional society by going to www.americancollegeaim.org and click join. Also, don't forget to save the dates. September 19th and 20th, 2025, we'll be having our first ever scientific session at McCormick Place right here in Chicago. Go to our website to register to attend the conference. We hope to see you all live in Chicago, and we look forward to having you tune in to our next podcast on Melvin Monday here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube.